that I'm about to speak, I really believe if you are attentive to it and understand some of the depth that I'm going to take you out to in a moment, that it's going to help you feel better and be more patient about what God is going to do through you. Amen? So I want you to turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 16 through 18. I want to speak to a message entitled, The Intersection Where Greatness is Birth. The intersection where greatness is birth. And I just really want you to hear these scriptures, and then I'm going to go backwards just for a moment and share some other parts of the scriptures to you. 17 verses 16 through 18. Are you with me? Starting with verse 16, and I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Now let's go back here to Genesis 16, 1 through 3. Give you a moment to get there. Very important. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Say that with me, no children. And she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, see now that the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And Abram had dwelt. Listen to that now. He had dwelt. So he began to live in this new promise. I want you to pay attention to that. He began to live in this new promise. 10 years in the land of Canaan. So something was happening there that was quite unique, to say the least. We see that today in our modern day, that where we live, sometimes a woman will carry a baby for another woman. I had lunch the other day with two women pastors, and they had shared with my wife and I that one of them became pregnant, and then somebody else came up to her and said, I would like to carry some babies for you. But she became pregnant by not the normal way, but she had twins in her. And so the other woman that came to her and said, I would like, when you birth these twins, I would like to carry twins for you or carry another baby for you, because they were really close friends. And she simply said, no. Two twins is enough. But I want you to understand what I'm about to say to you, because it's going to really help you. Because a lot of people today, most people, may I say 100% of people today, struggle with what God may have said to them. It's been a while since he said it to me, and nothing's happening. You see, Abraham was carrying the promise of destiny, and Sarah was to birth the promise of destiny. See, you're carrying something today. Somebody else may birth that promise, but you're carrying something. And I want you to look at this graphic that I made today, where a graphic where promise is going down the road and destiny is going down the road, and they're going to meet at an intersection. Now, the only reason that I didn't put this other word there is because I really want to stick with the word promise and destiny. But oftentimes, the promise comes through the prophetic. Are you with me? It comes through the prophetic, where somebody with good intentions and is a true prophet speaks into your life a prophetic word. And in our own impatience in our life, we want that word to birth immediately. But I want you to say, I'm not ready. Most likely, you're not ready when you receive that. Yeah, I'll give you an example, one that I've told you so you could be familiar about it. My mother-in-law receives a prophetic word in a charismatic meeting in Maryland when Kathy was 16 years old and my wife was in deep rebellion at 16 years old. And the word was that don't worry about Kathy, she will marry a pastor. Well, when she met me, I was not a pastor at all. And so that prophetic word, we weren't married. We got married soon thereafter. But that word seemed to be a word that was probably somebody in emotionalism. Probably somebody that just loved my mother-in-law, and you would love my mother-in-law. Somebody just probably wanted to make her feel good. You know, because we have people today that will come up and speak to you because they want to make you feel good, but it's not God. Are you with me? Because I'm going to tell you, we're going into some deep water, so get ready to swim a little bit. Yeah, it's serious. It's, you know, people get, they get prophetic. And they want to speak something into your spirit so you'll feel better. And you go around for the rest of your life waiting for this feel-good moment to happen in birth. And it's not really from God, and there's no promise from God. I'm not saying if you heard anything at this particular time in your walk with Jesus that what that was spoken into your life was not good. I'm saying to you that you got to be careful of what you listen to. What people speak into your life. Because some folks just love you. I said some because not everybody loves everybody like they should. All right? And so some folks just want, it may be your best friend, they just want to say something in your spirit. Well, I'm going to make her feel good today. I'm going to make him feel good today. I'm going to say something that, in the name of Jesus, this is what God told me yesterday. You know, and somewhere along the line, that yesterday wasn't really there. And I don't know what happens, but people say things that end up hurting people, not blessing people. Are you there? And so, basically, I didn't even want to be a pastor. I felt that I was called when I was a boy. I felt that I wanted to do something great for God, but I chose, and let me go into a modern day term so we can think like this is not a Star Wars message, but I chose the dark side. I enjoyed the dark side. It was very comfortable for me because I was birthed and I was brought up in the dark side. In my home, in the city that I lived, and the things that I had to bear up under as a child. So I got quite comfortable there. I knew how to work my way through the dark side. I knew how to make money through the dark side. I knew how to really enjoy life on the dark side, and I wasn't looking to go back to the light side at all. In other words, I did not want to say the force was with me. I wanted to hang out on the dark side. So I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't going to be that bad. We got married in Florida on the beach. by Pastor Louis, who did become our pastor later. Now listen, I'm taking you someplace. We're in this car we're driving right now, so hang on. When he married me, I started laughing at him. When he married me, I fell to the ground. I was just so, he said a word so funny, I just couldn't help it. And to tell you the truth, may I be open? Can I be clear with you today? I was stoned, okay? And I he had just said something that just made me laugh so hard. Kathy was laughing. I was crying. And I gave him what I wanted him to say out of the book of Tao, because that's who I was studying. And I wanted him to read that page so my marriage would be blessed by Tao. He took it. Took the piece of paper. He received it from me. Looked at me. Put it underneath the book, the Bible, and turned and married me out of the Bible. So, it was a kind of a unique situation. And, I wasn't going over to the light side. I was still on the dark side. But miracles began to happen in my life after they touched my life. They invited me to come to a home one time in Stuart, Florida. They invited me to a Church of God pastor to meet with me. And what I did is I made fun of the Church of God pastor. I laughed at him. I made fun of him. And I got up and I walked away from him and I said, "Man, you're a weird dude." And again, I was stoned. Kathy and I just walked out of that place and we said, "This is crazy." I wasn't going to ever be a pastor. But I began to see miracles that I didn't recognize at first. But God was leading me because I was carrying something that I did not recognize. Don't look at me like that. You may be carrying something today that you don't recognize. You're not understanding yet. Don't look at me like that, like you got it all together. Because I've still got things in me that I'm not recognizing and I believe I'm going to birth. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I want you to understand that when we began to hitchhike out of Florida after we got married, my sister-in-law, who was married to my brother, who was a Hell's Angel, but she divorced him because he became such a strong Hell's Angel, she didn't want to have anything to do with that lifestyle. She moved to Melbourne, Florida. So I went to Melbourne, Florida, from Stuart, Florida, to visit her, to show her, introduce her to my most beautiful wife. And she said, "Kindly, it's good to see you, but I don't have any room in the inn for you. So let me take you up the road so you can hitchhike across the state and get a ride up the coast to Maryland." And I thought, okay, this is good. Now you have to understand, I don't look like this then. My granddaughter said, she said, "Papa, did you ever have long hair?" And I said, "Yeah, it was all the way down to here." Yeah, and I was stoned all the time. Because when you're stoned on the world, with the world, you don't recognize what God wants to put in your life. And if he does put something there, you don't recognize it as something good. So she drives us up the road, up US 1 on Florida coast. She drops us off on a corner, said, this road will take you all the way to Fort Lauderdale. I said, "Well, thank you.
feeling kind of weird, but you dropped us off there. You know, my wife, you know, of course, I'm ready. I grew up in the street. I'm ready for anything that's going to happen. You know, I was that peaceful hippie, but I was ready. Everybody say amen. Amen. So, and we're going someplace in a minute. I'm going to take you through some stories in the Bible to show you something. And because I believe, I'm going to say it early, but I wanted you to grab a hold of it early. I feel the preacher coming on me right now. I want you to understand, I believe who I'm preaching to today. That you have something in you that you're carrying a promise, and you're going to birth that promise, and it's going to become a destiny for someone else. But I didn't hear anything there. Looking at me like, what's he mean by that? You got to understand what the Bible, you know, the Bible's deep. There's even a story in the Bible where God calls them out ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, chest high deep in the waters. And you got to learn to swim. Paul even said, you know what? You're not ready for meat. My God, I'm taking my jacket off. I'm feeling the preacher coming on today. You're not ready for meat. You should be drinking milk. I'm not saying that to you today. I'm saying there's something inside of you here at this church that God put there, whether by a prophecy or whether by a promise, whether by you just getting alone with God and He speaks that promise into your life. But you are carrying something that God put there. Am I helping anybody today?
Amen.
So I go standing on that corner out there, and I looked, and there's a bar right across the street. Now, we're in the middle of nowhere. How many's ever been to Florida? You have to understand there's a lot of middle of nowheres in Florida. So we're looking across the street. And all these guys are looking out at me, and my wife, I'm sure. Looking, you know, and I'm looking back, you know. I got the look on my face, you know, they got the dentist look. They're looking at me and I'm looking at them. But then I notice a little sigh. I said, what are they looking at us for? I mean, they should be enjoying their day in the bar. It's midday. Are you with me? I see a little message in the corner of the window, but it wasn't little. It was large and wide. And in white letters with black background, it said, no hippies allowed. So I'm thinking, now I know why they're looking at me. Because I don't look like a little high school boy. I don't look like I'm from the South. I don't have on my Adler socks and my Bass loafers and my peg pants and all the other stuff that goes along with being in the South. My hair wasn't combed down and over to the side. You know, I didn't have a y'all to my talk. You know, I'm just saying to you right now that there was that sign, and then all of a sudden I knew they were going to do something. A car comes around the corner and pulls over and says, where are you all going? I said, we're trying to get across the state to Fort Lauderdale. I said, you know what? I'm going there. Get in. We got in the car and they drove away. And when I got in the car, I went. And we took us all the way to Fort Lauderdale. We got there and we needed a ride to Maryland. So then the next day, the next morning, and you know, we were really blessed because we went into the hotel. I had $8 in my pocket to the Holiday Inn. Now, miracles started to pop. $8 in my pocket. And I said, my wife's not feeling good. She's sitting out in the grass. And I just, you know, you got to understand, I got long hair, you know, I'm sitting there. And I said, I just want to know, can you give me a hotel room for $8? And the guy says, yes, I can. And this is the most beautiful hotel room I've stayed in a long time. Big old king size bed and everything. Got in there, made sure Kathy was feeling good. Next day, we were sitting in the restaurant. Only had about $1.50 left because I did not tell him I had, you know, more than eight. You know, again, there it is, that old street thing. And so literally, these guys walk in, hippies walk in. And we look at each other. He looks at me and I look at him. And I said, hey, brother, what's going on? He said, nothing, brother. How you doing? I said, I'm feeling good. We're just having breakfast. I said, where are you headed for? He said, I'm heading for Maryland. I said, do you mind if we tag along? He said, no, we got room in the van for you. You guys get in. It was really good because I wasn't saved. I got in the van and there was sandwiches and beer for free all the way. But God brought that miracle to protect my wife all the way to Maryland. You see what I'm saying to you? Little miracles started to happen. Because God had put something in my mother-in-law that was going to birth through me. Don't be selfish with what you got is what I'm trying to say. Don't you say, I got something in me. It's not always about you. It's always about Jesus. It's always about what he wants you to do for him in his kingdom. In his presence. He sees your future. And then I get saved. In the most weird time, Kathy gets saved, and I told her, you don't need Jesus, you need me. That's how arrogant I was. She gets saved. I'm upset about it. She gets baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to go beat up that preacher. I really did. How many of you know who Jonas is, my boy? He's about this tall, handsome, you know, just about that tall. You know, I'm a short little guy, you know what I mean? I wear cowboy boots only because I felt one day I got to look a little bigger, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, he was wearing these boots the other day. Jonas was in the kitchen. Somebody gave him a $500 pair of boots as a gift. So I walk into the kitchen, and he went from this tall to that tall. I said, how'd you get taller? He said, I got new boots. He said, I guess they do make me look taller, because all of a sudden he's looking on top of my head talking to me. You know, and I'm saying, you know, all the beauty of what God is doing, you know, but that boy was in Kathy's arms when she gets baptized with the Holy Ghost. I'm carrying the boy out there because he pooped his pants. So she runs out and gives me the baby. She goes back in the church and I'm out there smoking a cigarette, carrying the baby, cleaning up the poop, doing what good dads do. And all of a sudden she comes out and says, I got baptized with the Holy Ghost. And I say, who did this to you? You see, I didn't recognize that something was in me yet. Am I making sense to you? I'll stop preaching because, you know, it really doesn't. I want you to get onto this. I want you to hold on to this. I want you to know that you may not recognize something's in you right now. You may not see it right now. But God, God is leading you down a path that is going to be explosive for you. And you're going to bless others. Amen. And he'll be praised. Kathy said, please don't. She starts crying because she knew me. When Dennis says he's going to do something, he's going to do it. Please don't. And I hear this voice behind me. Theta, Kathy's mom. Dennis, you don't need to do that. Jesus is in this. So I stopped in my tracks. Got to have some sense somewhere in there. Jesus is too big to mess with. So I get in the back of the car and I light up my Camel cigarette, take a big old drag, blow a couple smoke rings because you're cool when you blow smoke rings. You know, you got to like go boom, boom. And they're floating through the air and I'm feeling pretty good now, you know. And I again say, Kathy, you don't need Jesus. It's me you need. I'm the one that's bringing in the money. I'm the one that's so good looking, you'll never find a man like me. Oh, I was arrogant. Thank you. I know I'm still that good looking. Hold on. And literally, we're driving, and she looks back at me. She says, I told you before, and I tell you now, Dennis, you need Jesus. That afternoon, I get delivered, and that evening, I get saved. And then immediately, God calls me in her home in Stuart, Florida, and in the home of the woman that was carrying that promise, in that home, God calls me to be a pastor.
Amen.
4 years after the promise came to her, the destiny came to me. Man, I'm going to run. I might run. Some of you may not know, but sometimes Pentecostal, we get a little bit happy. We kind of start to run. I'm telling you. I am saying to you, where the intersection of the prophetic or the promise meets the destiny, there is a birthing that changes lives. A birthing. But then you may be challenged like Abraham was challenged in Genesis 22. Take the boy to Mount Moriah and offer him to me. Go back now. Mom, Sarah, was given a promise that she was going to birth nations and kings. You see, I believe in some of the people I'm preaching to today are going to birth nations and kings spiritually. Isha, my God. I feel God so much in this. I tell you right now, I just feel the Lord is trying to break through some of these things that are going on in your mind. You got to block. You got to stop. You got to let God deal with your destiny and your promise, because he's got something for you that is powerful.
Amen.
Wow, Pastor, you seem excited. Yeah, oh. The promise was to be offered, and the destiny was to be changed by and through the obedience of Abraham. Abraham says in Genesis 22:5, and Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So in other words, we're heading that way. I've been told I've got to sacrifice my boy. My boy doesn't know it yet. He even asked the question, God, where is the lamb for slaughter? Where is the sacrifice? And he says, don't worry, God will provide one. He's been asked by God himself to give it up. Give up the prophetic, give up the promise, and give up the destiny. I want you to do that for me. But he has so much trust in the living God. Somebody say, I trust God. Trust in the living God. That he says, we're going to go yonder, but we'll be back. Don't worry, son, God will provide. He straps that boy to an altar. He's about to cut him down from the throat all the way down to the loin and take out the parts that were not able to be worshiped to God, that were offensive to God, and put down to the side. So when he lit that altar, that the aroma coming up from this promise, oh my God, the aroma coming up from your promise, the aroma coming up from your promise will be a sweet smelling aroma under the King of Glory. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord says, Abram, stop. And there was a ram in the thicket. You may be sitting here today, and I'm about halfway through yet, so don't think I'm closing. You may be sitting here today saying, I don't think my promise is ever going to come. I feel like slaying this promise because it's burdening me. It's making me not feel good. It's wearing me out. In prayer, in thought, in my duties in the kingdom of God, I'm getting worn out because I'm seeing, well, listen to me. Listen to me. I'm seeing others birth. I'm seeing others' destinies moving forward. I'm seeing the destinies going from one to another's statement, and I'm watching this birthing and the destinies and the birthings and the destinies and the prophetic, all these things that are opening up like a flower on a beautiful spring day that has been well watered and is beautiful, but I am still stagnant. I am still poised, but I'm losing my ability to believe. I was once standing tall, but now I feel like I'm pressed down. I feel like I'm bent over. I feel like what I thought I had doesn't make any sense anymore when I first received it. I'm here to tell you, God is not through with you yet. 4 years, going to marry a pastor. Don't ever forget that. Now, it would be okay if I was a Church of God member, fourth generation, and my daddy was a pastor. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to give you an example. And fourth generation Church of God, and daddy was the pastor, and mama was there, and we pastored in a few churches, successful, been on boards, committees. My daddy is very famous in the Church of God and everything else, and I'm just sitting there, and you know, I wasn't yet a pastor, and I married Kathy. No. I'm talking as far as you can get away from it. As far as you can get away from being a pastor. From the language, to the drugs, to the alcohol, to the violence, to the making fun of a preacher that was trying to help me and my wife. Embarrassing the woman who received the prophetic word and was carrying it. Waiting for the birthing of that destiny. It was in her, and it had to birth in me. So you're carrying something today that's going to birth in someone else. Oh my God, you didn't catch that. Y'all looking at me like, you know, it's getting a little long now. Come on, preacher, slow it down. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to slow down till you catch up. Farthest from it, but yet God. She never gave up on that. She would come to California. Can I be clear here? Can I be like a window pane of glass that's just been cleaned? She'd come to California. And I'd be stoned. I'm going to tell you, I was always stoned. Because that was my business, to be stoned and make money off of being stoned. And she'd come to California, and I'd take the joint, and I'd pass the joint to her. She'd take the joint. She'd pass it to the person next to her. She wouldn't take any partake of it. And she'd look at me and say, you know what, Dennis? Jesus loves you. Drove me crazy. But what was she doing? Somebody say, what was she doing? She was planting seed of the promise for the destiny. So, you know, every one of us, we need to be sowers of the seed. Amen. Are you out there with me yet?
Yes.
Thank you, Theta. Praise God. Appreciate you, too. Here, take this one. Would you pass it over to her? Him. Have a Heineken in one hand, a joint in the other hand, five rolled, and another case to go through. Jesus loves you. She planted so many Jesus loves me and me, I thought I was a planter box. And the name of the flower was Jesus Loves You. She went back to Florida. Had a little charismatic prayer group going on in her house in Stewart. Where I was going to be saved.
didn't know that.
And she says that a prayer group that night, now y'all heard this, but let me tell you this, a miracle. She says something's going to happen to Dennis and Kathy tomorrow. Something bad. Please come into the kitchen. She takes a salt and pepper shaker and she puts them on the table and she has everybody sit around the table in holding hands and prayer, and she takes her hand away from one and she said, I'm going to draw an imaginary circle around the salt and pepper shaker, and that imaginary circle is the blood of Jesus Christ to protect Dennis and Kathy because something bad's going to happen tomorrow. She's in Florida. I'm in the summit up on top of Highway 17. There's 5 tons of peyote spread out through barns in the home. There's cocaine, 1/2 pound, and there's several kilos of marijuana. It's amazing that Kathy was down at the house, at our house in the 7th Avenue house in Santa Cruz with the children, and I was in San Jose. Didn't want to go there that day, but I went. She didn't want to go to our 7th Avenue house, but I said, honey, you need to go down there. Just go down there because I'm going to meet you in Santa Cruz. It'll be a lot easier. By the way, I still call her honey. I love her. I love her mother. The DEA, the sheriff of the Santa Cruz County, and detectives raid the property. They go through every building. They get every child out of there, and every parent is arrested. I have a truck that's 2.5-ton Chevrolet Master, 1948. It's 25 feet long, painted with bright pastel yellow and orange, 13.2 inches high. An Irish setter. And Irish setters bark at a fly that's 12 yards away. I mean, home yards, not a yard. Down the road. If they hear a fly, they begin to bark. Tied to that truck. This is what was told me. And next to it was a 63-passenger bus, white, just 3 feet away, just close enough to walk through. This is what they said. Dennis, I don't know how to explain this. But they walked over the whole property everywhere. They walked through the school bus. They walked through the home. They walked everywhere. It is as though they did not see your truck. They never went near it. They never went up the stairs to get into it. They never went in at all. Miracle. A miracle happened. What I'm saying to you is the birthing was going to come. And when God wants something done, He will make it happen. We became pastors. I'm going to tell you about somebody that you know a lot about. And without her believing that there was something more, because something was in her, Jesus would not have come in the lineage that was right. Ruth was the only lineage connected now for Jesus. And Boaz and her got together. But she was carrying a promise of destiny. She said to Naomi, your God shall be my God. No, go home, my boys. When I have more kids, you'll be too old to marry my new children if I get married. She said, I'm coming with you. Because something in her was pressing her to move forward with the promise and the destiny. And let me tell you something else that happened in the Bible. Mary was carrying the promise of destiny. Jesus was given to her by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost of the living God. And she, at that day, a young 13-year-old girl, was given this enormous promise. She had to tell her husband, and he had to be woken up by a dream of an angel, because God is going to protect the promise because he wanted us to be saved. Amen. You're carrying something. Amen. You are carrying something that I don't can't describe in human words, but you are carrying something that's in you that God is protecting, no matter how bad it's been, no matter how harsh it's been, no matter how sorrowful it's been, no matter how hard the hill's been to climb. God is making sure that you are covered, you are there. He is making sure that the prophetic word, the promise, is being protected for when you birth, the destiny of others will happen. He's done this because he knew who you are. He knew it. Jesus. You know, when Mary birthed him, we're celebrating that this month. Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that she held him and pondered all the things that was spoken to her. She thought about the destiny that was just birthed. She thought about the destiny. So when you birth, I want you to take time and ponder the word of God that was spoken into your spirit. The word that embraced you. The word that brought excitement to you. The word that said to you, "You are my child. And this is what I'm giving you." Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Jesus was carrying the promise of destiny. It didn't look like it. He may have done miracles. He may have touched thousands upon thousands of lives. But walking down that Via Dolorosa, it didn't look like it. Someone shout with me today, because I'm telling you right now, it did not look like anything was going to come from Jesus. You may be in this room today feeling beaten and smitten, alone, outside the group, whatever. Oh my God, the devil's a liar. He didn't look like anything was going to come. Them folks didn't know the Bible. They didn't know the stories. They were caught up with the emotions of hate and popularity and celebrityism. They were caught up by who's the most popular. You see, God doesn't choose the most popular. He chooses the most obedient. Are you with me? Rika, are you with me? Are you with me, Gami? Are you with me, Becky? Are you with me, Gloria? Are you with me, Monica? Are you with me, Maureen? Are you with me? Will, are you with me today? Selena, are you with me today? Marjorie, are you with me today? I don't want to go anymore into the congregation. I am just trying to tell you that he chooses the obedient. Not the best looking, not the one who drives the best car, not the one who's got the fanciest clothes on, not the one that's got a generation of generation of generations. He chooses whom he will choose. He chose a hippie. And he likes me to be reminded of that. I was in a meeting the other day with professional pastors from Brazil. Church planters from Brazil. And this is how I was introduced. This is Dennis Adams. He was a hippie. I went to church, went to preach in our largest church in Southern California at this time, called the Upper Room. 1,000 people were in attendance. I came down to preach to them. I was invited by the pastor to come and preach on that Sunday morning service, and this is how he introduced me. I want to introduce to you today Pastor Dennis Adams from the Vine Christian Fellowship up in San Lorenzo, California. And he was a hippie. So, at the meeting the other day, the bishop asked me and Kathy to go speak to these two women in the back. After he introduced who they were, he said, go talk to them. I go back to talk to them, and she says to me, I hope I can fit. I sure do like what I see, you know, but I'm a hippie. I said, so am I. If that identity is going to help someone come into the kingdom of God, so be it. Because what God did with a hippie, he can do with anybody. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What God can do with a drug addict and a drug dealer and a fighter and a hater and a manipulator and someone that would get into your wallet any way he could to make money, he can do it to you. He can do it to the worst of all that you may know. And the girl looked at me and she said, thank God. She began to cry. I told her the testimony about the charismatic meeting and Kathy and me to be a pastor. And she wept. She wept. You see, the point of it is you have something to offer even with your testimony. Don't hide who you were. Because God has made you who you are. Amen. You're who you were can help somebody get to where you are. Amen. Yeah. I can walk up to somebody who shot drugs. And I can say, you know, I understand. And he looks at me and he says, I can tell you understand. That helps. Am I proud of those things? Not at all. Do I regret the sins of my life? Yes, I do, but they're gone. Because he has rinsed me with the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. And through my mother-in-law, a destiny was placed in my heart. A destiny that she birthed. See, I'm the only one that when she was on her last breath, those last 13 days of her life, that I was the only one in the hospice trailer where she said she wanted to go, which was her son's, John's trailer. I was the only one that she would allow to touch her, to bathe her, to give her a dropper full of water. She would hold my hand and grip it. She couldn't talk, but she would let no one else touch her. Do you know why? Not because I'm special. Because she was deep enough to understand that she birthed this destiny. So what I'm saying to you here is be careful who touches you. Don't let the devil come and try to mess with you. Understand that God is protecting you. He wants you to do what he has called you to do. And no man, he told me to say this, no man can stop what God has started. Amen?
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Let me close. One of the greatest prophets in the Bible, Elijah, did great things. He called down fire from heaven in 63 words. But when he heard Jezebel was after him, he ran like a child and hid in a cave and decided, I'm going to dwell here because I cannot mess with Jezebel. In other words, the devil's after me. She's too big for me. She's got too much power for me. He forgot who he was. He forgot what his destiny was. He forgot what God has spoken to him to do. He forgot the miracles that have already proceeded from him. So what I'm saying to you is, do not find yourself running from a Jezebel. Do not find yourself running from the devil. Do not find yourself running from criticism. You're not going to be popular. My Lord, as many times as I've preached thousands upon thousands of messages, I'm not telling you today I'm popular. I rather tell you today that what I have spoken has changed lives. I don't care about popularity. I care about obedience. God said, what are you doing in the cave? Is God speaking to you today in any way? What are you doing in the cave? Twice that happened. What are you doing in a cave? Modern day terminology. Hey, dude. Hey, buddy. What are you doing, man? I've fed you. I've given you water. I've had ravens come by and meet with you, give you meat. You prayed a prayer I gave you, and I honored that prayer, and I came down from the fire from my throne room, and I sucked up the water and the offering. You just killed 400 of those devils. Thank you. You're my man. I've covered you. You're my man. So, dude, get up. What are you doing in the cave? Elijah said, I'm the only one that's left. Don't you dare go there. Ministry is lonely. I will tell you that. It is very lonely. I don't ask anybody to understand that who is not in ministry. It is very lonely. But I tell you right now, I know I'm not the only one. I'm not saying everybody out there that's preaching is one of us. That's a whole nother message. What I'm saying is, he said, there's only me that's left. God says, get down to the valley. He don't put up with that stuff. Get down to the valley. I've got something for you to do. I'm saying this to you today. Get down to the valley. Amen. You have a promise. You have a destiny. That prophetic word is given. It will intersect with the promise, and destiny will be birthed. He had to go down, and he had to anoint kings, and he had to anoint Elijah. He had to anoint kings. He was not done yet. He's not done yet. You're not done yet. You're not done yet. You still got to go down into the valley, and you've got to anoint kings. You've got to anoint another prophet. You've got to find someone to bring up, to teach, to disciple, and to train. Because for what I have given you, and I'm speaking into your life right now, I hope you understand, what I have given you is to be shared to someone else. Because you have a prophetic word in you that is become alive, and it's become a promise from me. And there's a destiny that needs to happen out there for others. And you have to bring what I've given you to them. It's not about you. It's never about you. It's always about him. It's never about me. Never. If you knew what I really thought about myself, you would probably say, what are you doing in the pulpit? Because I don't think that greatly of myself. What I think greatly of is the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. The one who saved me, sanctified me, and made sure even as a sinner, there was miracles that were shown to me that I could sense couldn't come from anywhere else but God. Miracles. Because a woman of God received a promise from God that I would be a pastor and her daughter would marry me. It didn't look like it. So what's going on in your life right now may not look like it's in the right direction. Somebody say, what is it, preacher? I'm telling you, it's coming as God has said it's coming. It's going to be as God said it would be. I don't know how Mary felt. I don't know how Joseph felt. But God made sure they stayed together. God made sure that that birth was good. And Mary pondered. I want you to ponder today on what God has spoken into your life. What he has spoken to you to become. What he's spoken into your life. He say, Pastor, he has never spoken anything to me. He just did today. There's something being placed in you. Some of you have been carrying things for years. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. It's okay. The trail's been long. It's been crooked. It's been rocky. There's been thirsty times. There's been times of wonder. Times of if. Times of why. Terms of why didn't I. There's been all these times going on. But God's timing is where the intersection comes together with the prophetic and the promise and the destiny and birth, and others are blessed. Amen. Others are blessed. Others are blessed. I want to talk to you today.